Okay, shall we do the right thing? The Bible verses that I was drawn to share with you today are from Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. They'll be familiar, I think, with many of you. They're words given by God through the prophet Isaiah to God's people while they were in exile in Babylon. And this just these two verses of this whole passage I want to focus on that says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now, I must admit, when I... it's not fully on. You can take it off, Dan. Yeah, it's okay. When I read those verses from Isaiah 43, I always think of the Message Trust. Some of you will know the Message Trust, Andy Hawthorne, the leader of the Message Trust, because the Message Trust, that's their kind of like key verses, I think. When Andy Hawthorne talks about what's at the heart of this organisation that goes out into some of the toughest places across our country and internationally now, and they do incarnational projects with things like Eden Projects. They do a lot of schools work, prison ministry, all that kind of stuff. And at the heart, their kind of banner verse, their underlining verse is these verses from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I want to just kind of look at those verses and pick up some of the things in those couple of verses and pray that it speaks into us today. And the first thing I want to pick on, it talks about making a pathway through the wilderness, a dry and difficult place. You know, God has a path for us as his people to walk through life. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, it actually talks about two paths that people can walk through life. The first path, it says, is a wide path. It's a wide road which is easy to walk on, and many, many walk on it. It's the type of path that I look for on Good Friday. You know, when we go for a Good Friday walk, fellowship walk after the Good Friday service, I try and find a wide path so people can chat and it's easy and flat. I've not always been successful, but that's what my aim is. The Bible says that's one pathway that people sometimes can walk on through this life. It's wide, it's broad, it's easy. Many walk on it. But it is the path, I believe, of self. And we're also told that this path, this road, leads actually to destruction. The other path it talks about in Matthew 7 is a narrow path. It's a narrow road or path of following Jesus as being a committed Christian. And we are told that this path, this narrow path, actually leads to life. But the illustration of a narrow path also lets us know that it's not an easy path to walk. Perhaps this is why we are told that actually only a few find it. Because it's not easy. It's hard. And when I think about that, I always think a little bit about John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you remember or heard of that, might have read the book. It's quite an old book. Might have been made into a movie. And I think about this this idea that if you've never read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, there's a guy called Christian, and he's trying to find, basically, he's trying to walk the path to heaven. That's kind of the essence behind it. And in that walk, he comes across all kinds of distractions and temptations and things to try and trip him up. And it's a tough path. It's a tough road of this guy, Christian, trying to walk the path to heaven. And I think about that when I think about this narrow path. And when I think about this narrow path that Christians have to are called to walk on, I'm always sad when people who are walking the narrow path fall off it. And that happens. And it's really sad. I've seen it many times over the years. And it happens for many reasons. Reasons of the flesh, reasons of the world, reasons of the devil. There's all kinds of reasons why sometimes people who are on this narrow walk, this trying to follow Jesus as a committed Christian, fall away from the path. It's a bit like that TV program that's on now, back on again, Gladiators, isn't it? When, you know, people are walking on these things and somebody comes on and goes, boof, and they fall off. And it can feel walking the narrow path as a Christian a bit like being on Gladiators. It's not as things are coming at us, trying to knock us off. And sadly, I've seen it many times, people do get knocked off the path. You know, there are some people who are not in church today because they've been knocked off the path. Very sad. Last week I was talking with someone else about the importance of walking on the solid ground of the path of our faith. And over the years, I feel what's really important is slow and steady, if I'm honest. And I say that because I come across some people and some Christians that seem to live a kind of a roller coaster. They're up and they're down, they're up and they're down, and it's chaos. You know, they're kind of, that's the path that sometimes they feel that they're living on. And you know what, when I look at that, I think to myself, well, we all want highs. We all want high points. We all want those mountaintop moments. So that's a good thing. We all want them as part of our Christian walk. I think they need to be part of our Christian walk. I also think that sometimes there will be lows, times of difficulty. That's pretty much a given. The Bible says, you know, Jesus says, not if, but when those times come, they do come. But I think to myself, if you basically live all the time on a roller coaster going high and low and high and low, it's exhausting. I think the key for most of God's people is to try and find a solid level, really. That path which is just solid and level. It's not high up here all the time. It's not down there. It's somewhere in the middle. Yes, it will have highs and lows in it, but most of the time, it's a solid, level path of faith. You know, the mic's here again today. Last week we shared the funeral of Leslie. And I think Leslie was a great example of this. She was just faithful. Perseverance, commitment, dedication, worship, service. Just kept going on that path. Steady path. And that's why I know, like it says in Matthew 25, verse 23, she has heard these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now the joy of the Lord. Colleen, who some of us know, who passed away this week, I think she was like that. Just walk the steady path of faith. Yeah, there'll be highs occasionally, there'll be lows, but we can't live on this roller coaster. It's just exhausting. Find a steady path of perseverance, of commitment, of dedication in your faith. The second part of those verses from Isaiah I wanted to think about, he said this. It said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I heard a quote once. It said this, build on the positive, release the negative. You know, we all have former things. We all have a past. We all have a history. Some of it might be good, but some of it might be not so good. Some of it might be difficult, if we're honest. And here Isaiah is saying to God's people, forget the former things. Why is he saying that? And I want to suggest two reasons. The first is, I think maybe God's people were still living back in the past. They were living in their glory days. You know, when God brought them out of Egypt with signs and wonders. And I think what they were doing was, God's people were living in those glory days, but actually they were now in exile in Babylon. You know who else who often lives in the glory days? Football fans. And I'm a great example because I'm a Leeds fan. The glory days when Leeds were top of the league, winning everything. There was a time. Billy Bremner. Norman Hunter, see? My glory days. Some of those Manchester United fans there living in the glory days. And it'll come to you City fans, don't you worry, it'll come. Football fans, Oldham, even they had a glory day. They had a glory day, didn't they? But just one day. But we have to be careful of living in our past. Yes, we can celebrate good times gone by. We talked the other week, didn't we, about the importance of remembering our testimony. The things that God has done in our lives, the times when God brought us through, when he healed us, when he's helped us in a certain situation. Of course we remember those times have gone by, but we can't stay there. And I wonder if some of God's people at the time were living, oh, remember the days when, back in Egypt. You can't stay there. The other side of this kind of coin is when people are captured by their negative past. They get stuck, people get stuck or held back really by their past bad experiences, by events that were negative in their past, mistakes, regrets. And you come across people that are living in the kind of the negativity of things that may have happened to them in times gone by. In our Lent course this week, we were thinking about not letting the negative in our past define our future walk with God. And it gave us a great example of this guy. And this guy, I can't remember which country it was, it was an African country, the Boko Haram had come into his village, they killed his parents. They were Christians, and that's why they killed his parents, because they were Christians. And he was trying to deal with this, but actually he was caught up in anger. He was caught up in revenge. He was caught up in the hurt of the situation. And basically he was moving forward in that way. And it was really encouraging to see how Open Doors provided an opportunity for this guy to work through that and to release some of that anger, release some of that hatred, release those thoughts of revenge that he was carrying. So he wasn't living, his future wasn't defined by the negative of what had happened. They helped to release him to find space that he could go forward in a different light, not carrying the burden and the hatred and the hurt. And sometimes if we're caught by the negativity of our past, things that have happened to us, times when we've messed up, if we're caught by that and we're carrying it now, it's affecting our future. And what we might need to do is we might need to just bring it to God. We might need to ask for God's forgiveness. We might need to ask for God's healing. We might need to ask God to set us free from that stuff that's got a grip on us. And we might need to let go with God's help. I wonder if there's some people here today that their past is influencing their future, and actually it's negative. Forget your former things. Bring them to the Lord. Build on the positive, but release the negative. I think the second reason why Isaiah, God was speaking to these people through Isaiah to forget the former things, it seems to me, was because God was doing a new thing. And actually what he was doing was an even better thing. God was saying through the prophet Isaiah, look forward to what I want to do. And you know what? God is always doing new things. Lamentations 3 verses 22 to 23 says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Some of us know a song based on that. But when you read that verse, that means God wants to do something new today in our lives, and tomorrow, and on Tuesday, and on Thursday, and carry on Wednesday, Thursday, carry on. It means that every day God has something new, a new mercy to bring and to reveal and to us to experience in him. The gift that keeps on giving. It's great, isn't it? It's like Mary Poppins' handbag, you know. It's every day, something new there. And what Isaiah is saying, that God is still doing new things. Don't just live in the past. We need to forget, yes, celebrate the good that happened in the past, but forget those former things, because God's got even more and even better. And I believe God has continual plans and purposes for us as we walk the path that he has called us to walk. And I pray that we might know the hope, like God's people in Babylon, that there is new and better things ahead. Now, in some ways, that can be both exciting and a bit scary, if I'm honest. But do we have that sense? We talked the other week about having that sense of expectation that God still has plans, still has purposes, still has new things to bring to us and do in us and do through us as we keep walking the narrow path that he has called us on to walk. And somebody else said this: whatever age you are, if you're breathing today, God has not finished with you yet. Somebody think, yeah, but I'm cracking on a bit now. I mean, I'm 54. I know, I don't look it. Careful. But if we're still breathing, God's not finished with us. He's still doing stuff. And again, you know, I'm not sorry. I think about Leslie in hospital. In those last days, what a witness she was, even to the staff. And to those other patients around her bed. God was using her right to the end. And God wants to use us right to the end. Don't think you're cracking on a bit now and it's time to chill back. God's still got plans. Still got purposes. New things to bring into your life. New things to do through you. I also think that this verse applies to our church. I am doing a new thing. Because it's pretty clear that over the last 2 years, God has been doing a new thing here at Chatterton Community Church. We have a very different church to what we had pre-COVID. Numerically, for starters, if you'd have said before COVID, what was your average attendance at church? I'd have said about 70 to 80. If you say what our average attendance now is, it's 100, 120. God is doing a new thing. Of course, for us, that changes the whole dynamic of what our church is. And yes, we can look back, and we need to, because this church does have some great history. Boys' Brigade was a great history for this church. people about Monday ladies was a wonderful thing that this happened in this church. Stoneleigh Bible Week they used to go to, and I hear stories of the big tent and digging the hole for the toilet. And but we can't live back there, some might say, thank goodness for that. We've got to look forward as a church. I still feel very much that we're working things through, because I'm still not sure exactly what it means in our new season of church, in that new dynamic of church with new people being added and different things. And I ask for patience as we work it through. But the key is that we do it together. We do it together as one family. People that have had a history with church, people that are new to our church, people that have come from new other churches and bring experiences from there, people that have not are coming not from a church background at all, but are discovering faith in a new way for the first time. That together we work it through. What does it mean for us now? For God to be doing new things among us. What does it mean for us to be the church that God is calling us to be at this moment, in this community? How do we continue to build church, but most of all, build kingdom? And to continue to have influence on the world around us and the community in which we're part of. Together. And every single one of you is important in that. Do not feel this is not my part. I've only been here a week or 2 years or whatever it might be. I want every single one of you to bring the gift that God has given you. And to give and to put your flag in the sand and say, we're in, come on, what we're going to do together. Let's work it out. It's a process. But I believe God is doing new things. And then the final part of the verse that I wanted to pick up on, it talks about making rivers in the desert, rivers through the dry wasteland. And again, when I read those lines, I think it speaks about two different things. The first thing I think it speaks about is God's provision. There is a real need, isn't there, for water in a desert. You know, if we walk his path, however difficult, barren or dry it might be at times, I do believe that God will provide for us. Again, it's part of the testimony of Leslie and Mike that we celebrated on Monday. That for the different circumstance that life was for them and is for them, God was with them, providing a river even through a desert. I think it also speaks, this verse, of the impossible. Because how can a river be made in a dry wasteland? But in verse 16, the verse before, it refers to what happened when the Israelites reached the Red Sea after being led out of Egypt by Moses. And many of us will know that story really well. That's part of the history of Israel. And Isaiah just reminds them of that part of their history. He says, you know that time when you reached the edge of the Red Sea? And then what happened is Pharaoh's army came from behind. The sea was in front of you and you thought you were trapped. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a pathway through the mighty waters. I was film flicking the other day, and I watched again the end of the animation film, Prince of Egypt. That's that clip, you know, with Moses at the Red Sea. And some of us would think, well, if you've not seen that, you might have seen The Ten Commandments by Charlton Heston, might we? Charlton Heston, that side of it. But it's a dramatic scene, isn't it? Of these God's people, the hundreds, thousands of God's people reach this point of this Red Sea, this what seems to be, well, It's the barrier. Where can we go? And then suddenly from behind them, Pharaoh's army are chasing after them to try and bring them back to Egypt. It feels like they're trapped. And it's great when you watch it in the movie. It just brings it more and more alive to you. How God just provided this miraculous way. The impossible. As he parted the Red Sea, as the seas climb into this wall of water, creating a pathway for them to go through. We sing the song, My Jesus, don't we? And it says, he makes a way where there is no way. Rivers in the desert, rivers through the dry wasteland, talks about God's provision and it talks about the impossible. And again, I believe God can help us overcome the greatest obstacles to lead us where he wants us to be. And you might have an obstacle in the way. What might an obstacle look like? It could look like addiction. It might be a relationship problem. It might be health issues. It might be disappointment. It might be anxiety. It could be one of many things. And they seem like obstacles. But I believe that God can help us overcome, can provide a way, even when it seems impossible, because he's the impossible working God. So I just wanted us to get hold of these couple of verses from Isaiah today. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in dry wastelands. I pray that we'll get hold of those verses, that we'll understand what it means to walk the pathway of the narrow road, committing ourselves to faithful, dedicated walking. I pray that we won't just live in the past. I pray that we will look for new things. I pray that our past won't define us, particularly if it's negative. And we won't be caught in the past of shame or events that hurt us in the past, that we can bring them to God and he can release that in us. Because God is always doing new things. He's doing new things personally, individually, for each one of us. And he's doing new things here as a community of God's people. And he will provide on that journey when we need it, at the time we need it. I believe provision is available. And even when we hit the obstacles, I believe if we keep trusting and keep going, God will provide a way, even when we don't think there's a way. And I mean those verses personally and as a community of people. And I pray that we can grab hold of them today. And actually God will speak more directly to us. Amen. We'll think a little bit more of that through prayer. But before we get to that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing the song, Never Once. I'd like us just to think a little bit of a response. And I always try and create some space after the message, because I don't know where it lands. I don't know where, you know, if God's been speaking to you specifically about anything that I've shared, particularly through the two verses from Isaiah today. But I found this in part of a Bible notes that I sometimes read, an illustration, and it said this: El Capitan, I don't know if any of you know this, is a famous rock formation that rises 3,000 feet from the floor of the Yosemite National Park in California. Anybody been there? No? Okay. It says, from the ground, the granite face of the formation looks smooth and nearly vertical. But it is the bumps and cracks and small ledges that provide handholds and footholds for climbers as they ascend to the top. In fact, it is the bumps on the surface that make conquering El Capitan possible. And then in the notes about it, it just says this. Life can look like El Capitan at times. Rather than being defeated by bumps and cracks, we use them as footholds and handholds from the Lord to conquer in Christ. I thought that was a good illustration. Because it can feel like impossible. It looks like this, the mountain before us is too big. How can I walk this narrow road? How can I keep being strong and steady? And we have these things that come, and the hurts and the world and the bashes and the bruises and all those sort of stuff. And we can feel like it's impossible, but actually the illustration is saying we need to use those bumps and those cracks as footholds so that we keep on climbing. You know, Romans 8 verse 47, Paul talks about us being more than conquerors. And I think it's the bumps and the cracks don't defeat us. I think they provide a path to victory for us. Don't let go. Keep persevering. Keep going. And when I thought about that illustration, it took me to a song. And not a Christian song, a pop song, really. I don't think it's a Christian song, I don't know. But it's a Miley Cyrus song. But it's an old Miley Cyrus song. And it's called The Climb. Some of you might have heard this song before. And the thing about the song The Climb is, it talks about perseverance for me. But it talks about not just getting to the end. It's about the journey being important. It's about the climb being important. And it's about keeping going, even when it feels like it's not always easy. And it does talk about keeping hold of faith within it. So I thought I'd use this pop song as a response. You can listen to it. You might think, nice song. You might think, what's he showing a pop song for? But you might, I pray, is that God would use the words of the song to think about the words that we've just spoken about. So let's listen to The Climb. Yeah, I can relate it to my faith. And I think, you know, what God's calling most of us to do is just keep being faithful. Keep walking, keep climbing, keep going. Yeah, there's amazing ahead, and eventually there's amazing in glory. But what God wants us to do is just keep persevering, keep climbing, keep praising, keep worshipping, keep praying, keep reading our Bibles, keep being faithful on that narrow, difficult at times road. Yeah, there'll be highs, yeah, there'll be lows, but God is with us. You know, and sometimes we need to get rid of the rubbish that's holding us back, because sometimes it's harder to climb if we're carrying baggage, some of the negative stuff in our past. God says, look, I need to get to the root of that. I want to bring some healing and restore something of that in you, because you're trying to climb with that baggage around you, and it's hard enough to keep climbing when without the baggage. Let God just release you from some of that you might just be faithful. That, you know, my hope, and I hope your hope, is that one day I'll stand in front of my Lord and he'll just say, good and faithful servant, enter now the joy of the Lord. He just wants faithful people that will keep going. And it's hard sometimes, I understand that. We do it together. We do it with God. Let's pray. Lord God, again, I pray that you'd speak into our lives and just, let your voice be loud. Whatever we need to hear, Lord, we pray that we'll be open to hear it. Lord, I pray for some here today that might be carrying negativity of the past. There may be events in their lives, words spoken towards them, that whatever it might be, but Lord, it's got a grip and it's holding them back. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to release those former things, bring healing, bring restoration, bring freedom. For us all, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to walk that narrow path. Lord, narrow means difficult. It's not always easy, and we know that things will come to try and knock us off that path, take us out of fellowship, take us out of our times with you, take us out of putting you first in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage, that you'll give us a steady core that's not get swept away, not get swept into to the highs and lows of the roller coaster, but means just that perseverance, I think, so important. Not in our strength, but in your strength. And Lord, as we do that, help us to keep our eye on the new things that you're doing. Lord, we said that you've got new mercies for us every single day. That's how generous you are. That's how amazing you are. And Lord, we want to fully receive and welcome those new things, whether it's individually as people who follow you as Christians, or whether it's as a Christian community, as a church. Lord, help us never to settle. Help us think we've got enough. Help us to not be expectant. We need more. Encourage us. And Lord, there are people struggling today, some in this church, some outside of this church. Lord, just come alongside them. Just give them that courage again today to say, come on, there's another foothold. There's another ledge. Go for it. Grab hold of it. Keep climbing. And you know, when I think about people who climb, well, most people who climb, they have, you know, that climbing centre in Oldham, when you're climbing up those things, there's a rope. And if you slip, that rope catches you. Well, that's an example of you, isn't it? Even when we slip, you catch us. You hold on to us. So, Lord, again, we just lay ourselves to you and commit ourselves to that walk. When we leave this place, when we go into our jobs and into our families and into our communities, Lord, help us to know that we're walking your path. Lead us, guide us, protect us, help us and strengthen us. That we might stand before you one day and hear those words, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, just